Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. In this episode, we welcome in James Fishgill. Fishgill is a heart coach, yoga teacher, and transformational facilitator based in Perth, Western Australia. He supports individuals and couples to grow mutual understanding and emotional intimacy in any moment of upset, rupture, or conflict, in all the relationships that matter most. The conscious heart-led communication approach that Fish transmits to his clients has a broad reach internationally. Fish has supported individuals, couples, businesses, and community groups to regrow trust, connection, and understanding in the face of conflict, complexity, and change since 2008. His warm, compassionate style draws on his experiences as a facilitator, educator, yoga teacher, actor, and loving father of two young adults. Fishgill, brother, it's an honor and a privilege to have you on the show. Thanks for coming on, man.
Mark, it's a great pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Fish, there's so much of me. I've been in the setup for this, doing my research, listening to podcasts. I'm so mad to pull the trigger and jump straight into conflict, which is quite ironic. I was conflict avoidant for so many years, and here I am just like, let's jump into the juicy stuff. But can you set the scene, please, Fish, for what I'm curious is, when you look back in your childhood, you're growing up.
Yeah.
What are the dominoes that you knocked over in your environment, in activities and things that happened to you that you can look back now and go, yeah, they just seem to be pointing to the man that shows up today and this beautiful mission and message that you have in the world?
Yeah. Great. Beautiful question. Thank you. So many. But just as a start, you know, it's lovely that you referred to like growing up as conflict avoidant yourself, because I can absolutely resonate with that. You know, I since I can remember, I was a very sensitive guy, very sensitive boy, very sensitive young man. Things used to really have an impact on me. And yet, I felt like it was my role a lot of the time to try and make everyone okay. And as long as everyone was okay, I felt okay. And, you know, some of your listeners might be like, yep, that's been my role. And I think looking right back, you know, my parents separated when I was three, and I used to see my dad regularly, but I grew up living with mom and living with my two sisters. So I became very finely attuned to my mum's pain, and I would feel safest when mum was okay, and I would feel most kind of unsteady when mum was not okay. So I became really finely attuned, and I think that's where my capacity for emotional understanding in another was really kind of first fostered. At the same time, as I grew up, what I wasn't building in my capacity was my ability to attune to myself. I couldn't really look inwardly and notice what was going on for me, or if I could, I couldn't really successfully communicate it so that my needs got met. It felt like it was too risky to do so, or that I might lose some connection if I showed up authentically. So I just kind of took my awareness off what I was feeling, what I needed, what was true for me. And then over the course of my adult life, as I moved through relationships, that, of course, created a whole series of train wrecks where I was so focused on my partner being okay that I couldn't tune into what I really needed to feel fully expressed, to feel tended to feel stable, to feel free, to feel loved, to feel connected. So I would always kind of defer to what she needed, which on the surface level might look really kind of loving and devoted, But underneath, I was not recognizing my own needs. And so I was not being able to communicate them. And eventually something would happen, whether it would be me cheating on my partner or me feeling so resentful in the relationship that I had to turn away, some variation of my own unmet needs going unrecognized and behavior in me that created great pain for those that I care about. So I've got a long history of creating a lot of pain for others that I loved. Meanwhile, somehow professionally, I became a facilitator. You know, I think in this motivation to make sure everyone could talk about what needed to be talked about so that resolution could happen in the groups that I would work with, some high-flying corporate giants, some community groups, some school groups. And as I became more interested and more skilled in facilitation, I just saw this back end of conflict becoming illuminated. I was like, oh my God, there's the recipe. There's the reason why humans always end up oppositional to one another that no one can see. It's like I started to see that which was naturally not seen. And then as I've started to introduce people to seeing that and choosing an alternative pathway than the one we habitually choose, now I just get to kind of exist in a world where there's this constant flood of feedback from people going, I've completely shifted my relationships. Even it's remarkable, but even people who watch a bunch of Instagram videos and then message me from somewhere in the world saying, the last 12 months I've just transformed my relationships. And I'm like, how did you even do that from a few Instagram videos? But I think there's a simplicity to my message that really just says, bring your awareness to your experience and their experience and stay in that place where you get loving awareness and so do they. And they will eventually want to meet you in that place. And when they meet you in that place, bam. So there's some of the dominoes. A lot of pain. I was actually working with my therapist yesterday and reflecting on, because I've just got a publishing deal for my first book. And I was reflecting on how that receiving the email from my publisher was like the most beautiful validation of all the pain I've walked through, and how it was that pain that carved this vessel that I now get to be for humanity. So, yeah, it was very, very moving. It's beautiful to know that all those shitty times was actually refining or illuminating something in me that now I get to kind of radiate into the world for others. Yeah.
That's beautiful, man. And by the way, well done on the book deal. I'm fronty Q, and I'm not saying that. Yeah. This is an Australian brother of mine told me, it's like, oh, Mark, you're blowing smoke up my ass. I actually had to go Google it, and I've since started using it. But you're from Australia. I'm not blowing smoke up your ass, man. I'm really fronty Q to get that book. In my research, I'm like, and yeah, I'm just on conflict, and that recipe. Yeah. I'm passionately curious to know about the recipe, and just to build the context, you know, working with husbands around the world.
Yes.
I find that it's like the vast majority. I don't really know a guy that comes into an application call for Heroic Husbands Men's Circles or one-on-one coaching with me that does not use the words, oh, I'm conflict avoidant, or some variation of that. Might be the technical term, but it's like scared shit. When the shit goes down, she gets mad. I just like zone out. I stonewall. You know, this, what I find is the tragedy, and I know it for myself, Fish, you know, for years. Give you a little tiny bit of background. I was 12 years married with my queen, Matilda. And all I can say, and when I say this to guys, when I'm with them one-on-one in groups, like, you'll have stoic, you know, hard guys It's almost like they'd say, it's almost a miracle that they've even reached out for support, and they're tough and hard on the outside. And I'd say, man, most guys I found are like me. There's this infinite ocean of love on the inside. But have you found that when you get into conflict, all of that love, your greatest pain is all of that love that you feel on the inside, when it comes out, you don't know what happens in the journey from that love that you feel so much for this beautiful woman, the most important woman in your life, you know, mother of your kids, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
You don't know what the fuck happens when that love journeys from your heart, and somehow, somewhere along the way, it goes through some invisible force, and what comes out your tongue is not loving, is not, and it's like, you know, Fish, guys just tear up. So many guys tear up because it's like, it's the first time another man has actually understood, number one, that they're so loving.
Yes.
But that confusion where that inner child, beautiful, perfect love comes out, and it just doesn't land. And then it's a disaster zone, and they don't know how to recover that.
Yes.
Please, please, please jump in and introduce us to your recipe of conflict. And if I'm hearing you correctly, there's two sides. You obviously speak to this all the time, but I'm curious on both sides of what the recipe is. And then maybe the start could be like, where do you feel the habits, the habitual pathways where people go, but it doesn't work out? But I'm going to leave it over to you. You're the expert at teaching this and speaking to this.
Right. And I could talk for 5 days, but I'll give it to like an hour, 90. You've so beautifully framed the very, very common experience that he has, whoever he has. And it's not just his experience either. It's often hers experience or their experience. But if, you know, like you so beautifully say, if we get 100 men in the room and we speak what you just spoke, I don't know, 99 of them are just going to feel complete, suddenly someone just spoke to their heart. So how you framed it has been very skillful, because at the same time as you can speak to the how unloving it lands, whatever they're saying or doing, the pain it creates for their woman, at the same time as that, you're also speaking to the fiercely loving longing from which their words or their actions arose. Hugely skillful to hold those two things, because it turns out both are true. Now, here's where the mind kind of screws with things. For some reason, and I can't tell you the reason, the mind makes two unconscious assumptions in the midst of conflict. Number one, that's most relevant to this topic, is because I had such loving intentions, she shouldn't have felt so upset, because I wanted to direct her to make a choice that would be better for her. She shouldn't feel criticized, because I waited till later to tell her about that thing in the hope to avoid upset between us right now. She shouldn't feel deceived, because I commented on her fantastic hips. She shouldn't feel objectified. She should feel appreciated. I was being appreciative. And then from that unconscious assumption, we start to judge their very real pain from the lens of our longing, which says, you've taken things the wrong way. You're being unreasonable. You're too emotional. You're making it all about you. We just cast this judgment upon them because What we're really saying is, I never fucking wanted all this pain for you. I never, no man, or human, by the way, but no man has ever woken up thinking, how do I create pain for those I love? Like, never. He might, when things are really bad, he might wake up and think, how do I give them a taste of my pain? But that's actually seeking attunement. That's wanting to be understood in the pain that we're carrying. So he never wakes up wanting to create pain, and yet, quite likely, all around him is the unintended pain he's created. So the recipe to dissolve that unconscious assumption, which, remember, is because I had such a beautiful intention, because I was yearning for wonderful things through what I did, you shouldn't be upset. We have to tend to that unconscious assumption, because if he believes that, he'll continue to make his woman wrong for the very real pain she's in. So she comes to him and says, that was really thoughtless. Or, why don't you put the garbage bins out? Or, darling, you know, I'm really upset that you forgot my Nana's birthday. She comes to us with upset. And because it's not what we ever wanted for her, we will naturally try and push it away. And we think she's wrong for feeling how she feels. So until we can recognize, one, in one hand, and luckily we've got two hands because I really use these two hands a lot. In my left hand, I'm going to hold what I was longing for behind what I did. The good intentions, the goodness in me, the love in me. You know, I might have been wanting to, for example, with my daughter when she was turning 22, I was longing to be fully expressed in my unbounded love for her. But there's my yearning, there's my longing. What I did to express that was I gave a 5-minute speech and I honored her for the specific strengths of her character that most move me. And every eye in the house, every friend and family member was moved to tears because they also feel that about her, right? So my action was 5-minute speech honoring her character. It arose from my longing to honor her and to express and to be fully expressed in my love for her. And in the other hand, it left her feeling completely overwhelmed, unfairly put on the spot, like kind of exposed. And it was as if Dad had just put a big, wet, emotional blanket on an otherwise kind of high-vibe, light, fun evening. So can you feel how those two things coexist? Now, back in the unconscious assumption that says, hey, I was being a loving father, you shouldn't have pain, I would just go to her and say, I don't know what your problem is. Like, how dare you? You're so unappreciative of the love that I pour into this relationship. You're being ridiculous. You're being oversensitive. I might even cast more harsh judgments than that. But in doing so, I leave this woman who I care about, who is in pain. Why? Because it just arose in her. I leave her feeling made wrong and abandoned when what she really aches for is my presence. All she wants is my fierce, loving presence wrapped around the pain she's in. And, you know, when you talk, I think this title of this podcast, her bragging about him, what's the experience that a woman has that might have her brag about her man? Have you got any insights into that from the men that you speak to? What would she need to be feeling in order to be that outwardly expressive of how proud she is of her man?
You have articulated it beautifully, the fierce loving presence wrapped around the pain. I would not have termed it like that, but presence for sure. Presence, yes. And protection. But protection, yeah. And it's from that feeling of, not because she's weak, because she's so profoundly precious. The absolute, yes. presence of being with her experience. And yes. I suppose that protection is, you're protecting her. You're not protecting your shit or your feelings. There's actually, you're feeling into her experience. So yeah, yes. presence and protection are two words I would use with guys.
Love that. She aches to have him say, I'm right here with you in the midst of this extraordinary pain you're experiencing. Interestingly, she doesn't even really need him to fix it, because his tendency to want to fix it will leave her feeling as if she doesn't get to have it. Like it's got to be moved on somewhere more convenient through fixing. Instead of, she just gets to be in sorrow and in rage and in disappointment and in frustration and in her hurt and in her sadness and in her whatever, like all the components of her pain. Now, I've said that as if it's the most simple thing on the planet. But there's so many things in the way for us. There's so many things in the way for us. And one of the key things is that until we can recognize that her pain coexists with our beautiful, fierce, loving longing, what we'd hoped for, until we can let them coexist, then her expression of pain is going to feel to us like we have to be the bad guy. Unless I can hold how freaking fiercely expressed in my love I was trying to be with my daughter, until I can honor that in myself, then I'm just going to hear her complaints as if she thinks I'm a bad dad or an uncaring or an unsensitive or whatever label. And as soon as I detect that she's calling me the bad guy, the villain, the pain causer, I'm going to naturally retreat. Why? Because my heart didn't get seen. I will naturally retreat in a situation where someone I love doesn't recognize my goodness. In fact, is asserting that I am somehow bad or wrong. I will naturally retreat, or like always, like 100% of the time, any human being will. But he particularly will, the more he has his love for her not recognized in any moment, the more he can't help but pull away. He's heartbroken. You know, there's our loving man. There's our loving dad at the 22-year-old's birthday party, just pouring out his love. He doesn't have to. It's vulnerable for him. There's tears. He can't get his words out. But here he is being fully expressed in his love towards his daughter. And to have her come at him and say, that was horrible, Dad, I hate you, or some words to that effect, you know, immediately leaves him feeling his love just got unseen. His love got cast out of her heart. That's how it lands to him. We might not phrase it in that way, but some variation of, I felt hurt, unrecognized, unappreciated, villainized, blamed, misunderstood.
What's jumping out of me when you set it up like that, Fish, the simple yet profound reference to he's experiencing heartbreak. Because I know myself, and speaking with guys, but myself for years, I was caught with that, in that classic thing of, you know, she's so goddamn irrational. You know, that just defined every single projection was going through that. You're so bloody irrational. Why the fuck? What? How? I said that, and what the fuck? What's just happening? And then I'd stonewall.
How did you make this a problem for us? How did you and your emotionality make this a problem for us? Mm. Yes.
I'd end up eventually, inevitably stonewalling, because I'm there was this realization, and I know guys listening in, so many guys have said, yeah, that's why I stonewall. You know, she then our queens would get so infuriated because, like, oh, so now you're just avoiding it. But it's like, everything that comes out my damn mouth is making this worse. So of course I'm going to shut the fuck up.
Of course.
But the elephant in the room there that is so soothing for my nervous system, definitely if I go, wow, if the mark of a few years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, definitely not perfect, but I can see a lot more now, but is the heartbreak. That it's heartbreaking as a man to have that yearning of your heart and perceive that it's being repelled. Perceive. I love, there's some part of me going, it needs to be slowed down, the conversation on that point. Because guys, again, it's, you're so irrational. Yet we're being exceptionally irrational in a beautiful way. You know, we're experiencing heartbreak. Our love seems not to be received. That's heartbreaking. There's such spiritual medicine in that for men, I feel.
Yes, absolutely. And if we could capture some little moment of a conversation that at that point of heat, she's expressed her complaint, he's already starting to switch off. It might sound like her saying, why were you so insensitive? And him saying, you're being irrational. So hear how naturally, suddenly the conversation is one of analysis and counter-analysis. Analysis as in, this is what I've made the moment mean about you. She's analyzing him, you're so insensitive. He's analyzing her, I think you're being irrational. She'll then respond to, what's irrational about having my feelings? Don't you love me? And he immediately feels more dismissed, like more accused. And analysis naturally escalates conflict. Whenever we come up with what we think about someone else, we naturally escalate conflict. What's happening under the surface of that is experience. Can you feel into it with me? What's the experience you think she might be having behind her analysis? You're so insensitive. What's she feeling?
Well, in those many moments, and you're being so insensitive. I suppose the
experience alive in her.
If her analysis is saying I'm being insensitive, she's not being felt into. I'm not tuning into her. She's not feeling seen or heard by me.
I'm not feeling seen. I'm not feeling heard. I'm not feeling tuned into, felt into. Beautiful. Now, can you feel the difference between I'm not feeling felt into? That's experience. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be amazing if she could talk to us like that? But instead, she comes at us with, you're so freaking insensitive, or I'm sick of you always or never, whatever analysis she throws at us. So there's another reason why to stay fiercely loving and present to her upset is very difficult for us, because she's expressing her upset in terms of analyzing us and pointing to some ineptitude, some lack, some wrongness, some badness, some unawareness, some unstrength in us. Very hard to stay open in the face of judgment and criticism for all beings. So in order to stay fiercely present and wrap her pain in our fierce loving awareness, which, by the way, is the only way she's ever going to feel loved. Like, there's no other recipe for dealing with pain that will leave her feeling loved other than to stay fiercely loving and present.
The guys here, as you're saying those words, clearly it's audio only, but what Fish is seeing in my face is I'm about to burst out laughing, because there is no other recipe. there is like everything else just doesn't work. I know my firsthand experience, I'm 15 years married, doesn't fucking work. You know, no matter how many times my mind has said, oh, but just stick with it. It's like, because you're so right. I mean, just hammer home this point, Mark. You know, your nervous system, it feels so juicy and so fucking right. At some point, you know, might be 5 minutes, might be 5 hours. And yes, some of those conversations go on 5 bloody months.
Yeah.
It has never worked once, ever, ever. Like literally, I don't remember one moment. And the only times I might, in my ignorance back to years, go, oh, but it sort of worked, was when she just shut up and realized he's just so fucking ignorant. There's no point. It's useless. So
yeah,
I'm laughing. And yet there's that tragedy that, again, two beautiful, loving hearts, when we take that path, those habitual paths, it never works. And it just, so much love, it doesn't matter. The distance comes.
It gets dissolved. It gets eroded. The trust gets eroded in every moment. But I want to just acknowledge what you just said, Mark, because there's a validity behind that tendency for us to just want to hammer home our point. What's the longing in your heart behind trying to convince her she shouldn't feel that way? What are you really longing for? What do you want recognized?
In those moments when I keep that, as your word, the analysis, what's motivating me emotionally, Fish, is, I really just want to soften into this, it's this exceptionally tender love of, you know, the words are like sort of, for fuck's sake, woman, I love you so much, whatever's coming out my mouth, but Christ, my perspective is not, I'm not wanting to make you wrong here. I'm like,
what are you wanting? What are you wanting?
I'm wanting you to feel my love. I'm wanting you to realize I'm not fucking bad. I am actually an amazingly loving man. My heart is love. My God, the pain is insufferable, that you can't get it, that my words can't connect you with it. But fuck me, if I just continue, eventually you'll melt in and see my love and feel my love.
I just fucking want you to feel the love that I'm trying to pour into you and us. And so we'll hammer on about it. We'll use every analysis under the sun. We'll put together a watertight legal argument. We'll employ 15 different lyres. We'll scour the data looking for points that light our story up in an effort to have our love recognized. All the while, leaving our woman feel as if we're completely unwilling to be with her very real experience. And how fucking unsafe must that be for her? The man who says he loves me can't stay with me in my upset. Now, of course we can't, because here we are motivated by wanting her to recognize the longing and the yearning behind what we did. So you can see how, can you see how that naturally will amplify conflict? I'll stand there with my daughter saying, how dare you? I was being so loving. And I'll label her as unappreciative. And she'll stand there saying, you're insensitive, and really wanting me to feel into her pain. And the more she speaks to her pain, the more I will feel unrecognized for my fatherly love. And the more I speak to my fatherly love, the more she feels like I'm just willing to completely dismiss the pain she's in. Well-resourced enough, that turns into Israel and Palestine. Like if we have the artillery, it will escalate like that. Luckily, we don't have access to that, but we take some hideously unskillful actions in the midst of that argument to try and convince them that our experience matters, and leaving them feeling their experience doesn't. And both he and she do it, right? It's natural, by the way. So, I mean, that can be a bit confronting once you start to realize that every conflict on the planet has always had one person trying to speak to their intention and the other person trying to speak to their pain and then making each other wrong for it. And no conflict has to take that form if we learn an alternative. Anything can be transformed once we know how to tend to both.
So I'm hoping, well, it's my full expectation, the guys listening in really, really follow on. I've been deeply impressed by guys, how much they're actually studying what I'm saying and what guests speak to.
Yeah.
And I always say, James, is like the rational minded guy, like 90-95% of guys will sort of say, it's like, oh, and you know, my problem is I'm a rational minded being and she's not, you know, and that's where all the disaster comes. Well, I sort of put that back to guys. It's like, okay, well, if you're truly rational minded, and in your experience and my experience, and I think Fish's experience, and any man that has tried to hammer home with the analysis, with the emotional, psychological artillery, it never works. Well, you've got to look and go, if you're rational minded, the rational mind goes, if you keep repeatedly creating a problem and it never brings connection, well, you got to stop that if you're truly rational minded. So I'm just sort of pitching that to guys listening in, and I'm feeling, I'm sort of cranking the volume up going, guys, okay, well, Fish Gill is about to give us the recipe of how to go beyond that. So I'm like, rational mind, start paying real good attention.
Here it comes. Fish,
what is it? So it's pitch there. There's all this love, both sides. We're going at it. We're not, you know, by habit, by lack of training, et cetera, both sides. We're not going straight to the human experience. We're going analysis. Analysis accentuates, it magnifies the conflict, but we keep going, and then the conversation ends, the conflict ends, and we've got distrust. It's eroding the trust, it's eroding the love, the connection, et cetera, et cetera. Every guy listening in wants to break that. What does that look like?
First of all, I want to acknowledge that in any moment where we feel so misunderstood for the love we've been trying to transmit to our people, it's okay. It's very valid for us to acknowledge, I feel hurt. I feel angry. I feel sad. I feel disappointed. I feel frustrated. I feel shut out. And actually really bring some awareness to the high impact nature of that moment, unexpressed or unreceived love pouring out of us, being thrown back in our face. We're being accused of being bad, and all the goodness we're trying to pour in is being unreceived. So just a moment to actually just acknowledge, for each of us, just to acknowledge, how does that actually leave me feeling? And we have every right to be full of rage, full of sorrow, full of confusion, disappointment, shame, guilt, apathy, doubt, all of it quite possibly comes alive in us, right? So I just want to acknowledge that, because it's in the midst of that upset, of course, we're trying to convince them they shouldn't feel that way, because otherwise we just get to be the villain. So the recipe must account for both the longing in my tender heart when I gave that speech for my daughter, like really tuning into what was my heart going for? What did I want to feel? And what did I want her to be able to feel? And what did I want my community to experience? So step number one, what's the longing in my tender heart? I think it's good to use the word tender heart because it kind of invites us into a different flavor. Like, love is tender, right? It's not rational. It's not like designing a bridge. It's a willingness to open into the unknown, actually. So it's tender. So question one, what was my tender heart longing for? What did I want to feel? What did I want them to feel? What did I want the situation to feel like for us? So if I'm to answer that question, really tune into the longing in my heart behind what I did, even as I start to recognize it created upset. I wanted to feel fully expressed in my love for her. Like the channel of love from my heart out my mouth into my daughter's ears was like wide open, like an expressway at 5 a.m. So fully expressed. That would have enabled me to feel joyous, free, loving, and like a deep, fierce fatherly kindness. Those feelings are what I longed to feel in me. That's where my actions arose from. Skillful or not, that's where they came from. What did I want her to feel? I wanted her to feel like wrapped in my love, like so cared for, so deeply honored. Seen for the parts of her that she has a choice over, instead of just being seen for her physical beauty or her color of her eyes, or like, you know, seen for her inner world. I wanted her to feel safe, honored, loved, and deeply recognized. I wanted our community to feel like their love for her just got spoken to, like represented. So notice if I ask myself this question one and I really go into it, what was my heart really longing for? If I really am prepared to go there, spend some time there, tease open all the components of my longing, all that we ever find there in our longing, even behind the shittiest things we've ever done, like the shittiest things we've ever done on the planet. Question number one, what was my heart longing to feel, will always illuminate beauty and love and validity. The heart yearns for safety. The heart yearns for recognition. The heart yearns for mutuality. The heart can sometimes yearn for our pain to be tasted by others because we yearn to feel attuned to. Making some sense?
Can you take me deeper on that part of the yearning for the pain to be felt? Because I know my hand is coming up in dark moments in conflict.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm seeking to understand what is that irrational.
Yeah.
But what happens my nervous system when it's like, you know, it's like you're not feeling my fucking love. Yes. Well, feel my pain, you know, like taste some of that shit.
Yes.
You know, I'm struggling. I'm really searching for words that can illuminate that part that you're saying there's still love underneath it. I know that part of my nervous system, it's pretty fucking nasty. When it comes out, when it has come out in the past, I mean, like when I had no awareness, that's a nasty part. What's happening, Fish, in that moment when my love is not being received, it's not evoking the response that my heart is yearning? You know, why does my nervous system do that? And obviously, by extension, all the guys listening in, why do we do that?
In our efforts to feel attuned to, meaning in our efforts to have the feeling that someone's right, able to feel right into us, to be with us, otherwise known as like a sense of secure attachment, like when we were a kid and our mom or our dad or a grandparent or whatever just wrapped us in their arms and said, yes, I bet you're hurting, when we fell off the trampoline, like, I bet that hurt. Attunement, I'm right here with you. That's what we're longing for. Attunement is the experience of being loved, right? So in the midst of our very great pain, we still have this longing to feel attuned to. So consider the difference, Mark, about if you're in a lot of pain in relation to me. Option one, I come to you and say, I don't know what the hell your problem is, man. Like I told you I was going to be half an hour late and you forgot to, you know, and so the problem's over there with you. And I'm not going to tolerate you telling me that I'm an insensitive, uncaring person. Screw you, buddy. That's option one. And I'm leaving you feeling like your pain just got completely dismissed and unrecognized. Right? That happens all over the world, all day, every day, by the way. It's a fairly dominant way of responding to someone's pain.
I'll put my hand up that what Fish is referring to is a beautiful human experience, but it's not always a beautiful human experience where we had a time zone confusion. I made an assumption. They're just different things happened, and the time zone that I had lined up the time of the meeting, there was a simple confusion. Fish showed up 60 minutes earlier than what my mind was showing up, but it was very beautiful. And I will put my hand up. The subconscious part of me was, oh fuck, is Fish going to judge me?
Yeah.
Because it's like, hey, I actually did the thing. I went on to timedate.com. I made an assumption. A little sign came up. I've screwed up. Is Fish going to be pissed with me? Is he going to have a judgment? If I really slow down in that, because it's life, there was a potential conflict there where my inner child, my old patterns of, hey, I couldn't fuck up when I was growing up, or my older brothers, my dad, there was going to be a real deep sting of criticism.
Yeah. Someone has to be at fault.
Yeah, it was very real. And I could feel that tension before the call. I can sort of breathe through it and not let it dominate, but it was there. And yeah, it was so healing and beautiful. I got sent you a quick email and you were like, yeah, shit, that's on me. Ownership, human experience. And we just had this beautiful sharing before. I just wanted to invite guys in. That's actually very real of our human experience just before this call and in the organizing of this meeting.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. So that would be option one, me turning up to you and just saying, I don't know what the hell your problem is. Like, how dare you be so upset with me? I haven't done anything wrong. Option two is attunement, where I show up and I'm like, I can't imagine how frustrated you might be with me right now. And you have every right to feel that way. I imagine you also kind of feel disappointed, maybe a bit angry, a bit hurt, as if you're not being valued. Notice the difference here is I'm actually just attuning to what I think your experience might be, which is my demonstration that I'm willing to be here with you in the experience you're having without needing to justify or rationalize or dismiss it or compare it or fix it. So that's what I mean by attunement, right? So in order to feel loved, we want to feel attuned to. Now, in the midst of our very great pain, we will want someone to feel our pain. That's the only pathway back to a sense of safety for us. Emotional safety. If you don't feel my pain, I'm not certain that the pain's not going to continue. If you do feel my pain, I start to feel like maybe the pain's not going to continue because you get where I am. It's like an immediate sense of safety. Things are starting to get attuned to and tended to, right? Now, it's just very human for us to sometimes, in the midst of our very great pain, to lash out with someone to try and give them a taste of it in an effort to have them finally recognize what it's been like for us. I'll give you an example. I was working with a client last year. Her and her ex-husband were going through a divorce and a pretty messy court battle about care of their kids. She was right in the heat of the pain, and much to her later regret, she sent him a text saying, "The day I met you was the worst day of my life." Now, on the surface of it, if you're him, by the way, if you receive that message, your conclusion naturally is this person's like crazy or nasty or vindictive or vitriolic, or like you might even reach for a pop psychology term like narcissist or gaslight, like whatever your favorite like oppositional pop psychology term to reach for is. But if we get into her world, and it took some time, I was asking her this question. One, I was like, what was your heart longing for behind sending that text? And she was like, what do you mean? It was a nasty text. And I was like, yeah, but what were you hoping for? And eventually she was like, I just wanted him to know how much I'd been suffering. Now, is that malicious? The action she's taken is deeply hurtful to him. Yes, absolutely. And we need to pay attention to that. But was she a malicious person? Well, she was seeking attunement, like we all do. So it's critical for us to realize that behind everything we've ever done, the heart was yearning for some things. And the more masterful we are at feeling into what my heart was yearning for behind what I did, what did I want to feel? I wanted to feel less like the villain. I wanted to feel less like I was failing. I wanted to feel like someone cared about what suffering I'd been in. I wanted to feel like I could avoid the potential upset between us. I wanted to feel more desired outside of my relationship with my wife. There's always a longing there. So step number one, what's the longing in my tender heart? The more we do that for ourselves, the more we create a sense of inner reassurance that we're not the bad guy, even if they're saying we are. So I can't show up to a conversation with my daughter in the heat of our 22nd birthday moment. I can't show up to her properly if I approach her with the feeling of I'm a bad dad. Because collapsing into shame and making myself wrong for hurting her actually stops me from being fiercely present to her. Can you feel that? Collapsing into shame, having to be the bad guy, will prevent me from staying open to my loved ones.
I really can feel that myself, and I'm hearing guys so often. It's like just, oh, I'm such a fucking asshole. I do a practice with guys where it's like, okay, there's the shame, blame, and claim thoughts in conflict. And the shame thoughts against himself is like, and it's a long line. Every guy will have their own descriptors, but I'm such a fucking asshole. And it's like, I'm such a piece of shit. I've fucked up again. And I'm really hearing that if you don't shift beyond that, I mean, you're not going to, your nervous system won't have it available with the overwhelm of that experience of beating the shit out of yourself to actually shift into that attunement phase that you're speaking to.
Yes. Absolutely. Now, when a man says, I'm such an asshole, what he really means is I can recognize the pain I've created.
Oh, that's fucking juicy.
I never wanted that pain. I've created pain I never wanted for someone that I love equals I'm an asshole. That's the conversation. Shame collapses the two, right? If I've created pain for them, I must be the bad guy.
Yeah.
So we're trying to tease open those two things that get collapsed together. I'm such an asshole collapses the pain I've created with what I was hoping for and makes it, I must have been the kind of person to intentionally create pain for someone. But those two things are not the same. They need to be teased open because they both need to be recognized. So number one, what was my heart longing for? Deeply inquire there. What you find there is magnificent, actually, always. In you and also in all other beings, but we won't go there for now.
Yeah.
So that's number one. Number two, which we're naturally kind of segueing into, is what's the pain that my actions unintentionally created for them? What pain have they been naturally left with as a result of what I did? We're still holding number one. We haven't dropped what we were yearning for. We're holding it in the left hand. And in the right hand, we're starting to feel into what's the pain that could be alive in them. And as I answer that question number two, I feel into my daughter and I think, I wonder if she might have been feeling overwhelmed. Like, I wonder if She felt disappointed that my speech was so, like, emotional. Again, such a dad thing. I wonder if she felt a bit embarrassed, like being that fiercely spoken about, like really speaking to her heart. I wonder if she felt a bit exposed. I would never have wanted that for her. Come back to the left hand and back in the right hand, it may well have been true for her. See how I'm allowing these two incongruent truths, my longing coexistent with her very real pain. Remember, in the unconscious assumption, because I wanted good things, she shouldn't have pain. The recipe to dissolve that is, of course she felt pain as I didn't want it for her. Coexistent. That might sound strange to start with, but when you look into your life and recognize how many millions of times every moment of conflict actually has been your heart wanting certain things and a whole lot of unintended pain for others. You know, the smallest things, tiptoeing in at 3 a.m. with your housemates asleep, not wanting to make lots of noise, and through trying to be quiet, you trip over the glass and smash it. Or trying to make sure you don't upset someone at the Christmas table ends up with someone else feeling deceived by what you weren't honest about.
Oh man, I need to lead with personal experience.
Tell me some of those where there's been this good longing in your heart and this unintended pain that you've created.
Yeah, I'll share something that's like exceptionally life, because literally just the last few days, I've had a raising up of, we'll call it asthma. Just so people can, I wouldn't use that personally. I don't like the labeling effect, but restriction of breathing, let's say that has kicked up. It's been sort of several decades of that, and using breath work. And I've got to the point where, hey, I'm breathing much better recently, but there was quite a major kick up. I did a beautiful project supporting a really good friend of mine to lay his floor. He had like visitors coming, so it's like, let's just fucking go to it. And I didn't use a mask. And I was like, okay, didn't use a damn mask, and it was laminated floor. So the dust, there was a lot of dust.
Yes.
I can look back now and go, okay, that happened 5-6 days ago. I've had a flare up, and my nervous system, my breathing system didn't like it. So where that leads into the conflict was, for the last number of days, when I get the flare up and my breathing, I don't sleep very well at night. So I hadn't slept very well at night. My nervous system is very tight and hard. And I had the awareness, you know, like previously I didn't realize this, but I had the awareness, and I sort of was speaking it to my queen. It's like, hey, baby, I'm really hard. But I didn't realize the profound depth of how bad it had gotten. And she could not feel my heart. But the intention, like you're saying at the, you know, at the party, and you don't want to hurt, but then you do. What I unwittingly did, Fish, was, I didn't share my full inner experience with her of how fucking bad I was feeling. And my heart's yearning, to use your beautiful words in that self-inquiry, was my deepest heart's yearning was that she wouldn't feel worried about me.
Yes.
I've had a long history where in years gone by, it was pretty much like I was, you know, at the level where my life continuing was in jeopardy. So this experience, a flare up for me, I could recognize within my queen's nervous system, is like, boy, this is real fucking pain. My intention, my heart's yearning was, I don't want you to feel that pain. So I'm not going to speak to how bad I'm feeling. I'm just going to keep doing my breath work. I'll get out the far side. Things will be good. But I didn't share my heart. Two nights ago, she was in the floods of tears. She was saying words, I don't know the exact words, can't remember, but it was not pretty what was coming my way. I was like a fucking asshole for,
like, how dare you fucking shut me out?
I shut her out. You're such an asshole. you've done it again. I had the words of the last week, or I think it even spread unjustifiably into the past. It was pure feminine. It's like, for the last damn month, like, you've just shut me out. It's like, you know, my mind was like, yeah, well, it's actually technically 4 or 5 days, but not fucking you, not of any use in that moment, I knew. Yeah. But the heart's yearning was to protect her from the pain of what I was going through. So I minimized my felt pain. She hit me with that. And when I was feeling that, I actually got into fucking hell, woman. You know, it's like, I'm feeling, and then I exaggerated the amount of pain I was feeling, and it just got beautifully.
You wanted her to feel into the pain that you were trying to protect her from being worried about.
Exactly.
It's such a beautiful example. What you've just done kind of intuitively is that you're speaking now to both. So let's phrase it this way. We want to create a statement that commences non-oppositional communication. By non-oppositional, I mean without two sides, without a this versus a that, not trading analyses, not fighting both for our experiences to be seen at the expense of the other, non-oppositional communication, right? So this is what it's going to sound like. I'm going to hold number one, my longing, and number two, the unintended pain that I've definitely created for them through what I did. I'm going to hold them in equal measure, and I'm going to try and speak it, not lightly. Like, we're not trying to wallpaper over the cracks here. It's not rainbows and unicorns. We're not trying to pretend it away. We're speaking fiercely to both. It might sound like this for you. It might sound like how I went about trying to minimize the distress I was in order to protect you from a worry I was fearful you might sit with, so you could feel relatively at ease, must have perhaps left you feeling cast out of my heart, as if I don't want to reveal myself, as if I don't love you enough to show you my vulnerability. I imagine that felt hurtful, sad, and maybe even desperately alone. Now, notice I have spoken fiercely to longing and pain. In my relationship with my daughter, it sounded like, my love, when I gave that speech, I wanted so desperately to be fully expressed in my amazing love for you. I wanted you to feel incredibly seen and honored, and I wanted everyone in the room to witness their love for you. And, key word, and, because and helps us hold two things as coexistent. And, my darling, I can see clearly how unfairly put on the spot you must have felt, how exposed and overwhelmed you may have been left feeling. I imagine for a light-hearted evening, it suddenly felt very heavy and kind of lonely, almost as if I was making it about me and not loving you. Speaking to my longing and her pain in equal measure. Why? Because it turns out they're both real. They're both true, like deeply. Deeply fucking true. The more you go into my longing and her pain, the more real you find.
It really just strips back all the story and allows two perfect human experiences coexist going. And I love the and.
Story.
I love your emphasis, and I'm intuitively feeling the absolute essential nature of and. Because a part of my nervous system was like, but, you know, it's like, there's my experience, but you had your experience, which means, like, you know, the but there fucks up everything. It's like,
it does.
And it's also true. I know a friend of mine years ago, he introduced me to that, doing work like yours or in corporate. And he's like, Mark, and it's also true. It was the most he was actually disagreeing with me.
Yes.
But it was the most eloquent way I had ever experienced at that point. And I'm hearing it again in you. It's like, and it's also true. He repeated what I had said. Yes. It's like, and it's also true. I have this truth. There was no argument. I have been classically a very argumentative guy. Get me into your logical debate. I'll fucking meet you there. But it's like, there was nothing I could say to that man. And I'm really feeling the exact same beautiful human experiences opening up with your words. The heart yearning, my truth, and your heart yearning and the pain that, you know, your daughter or my queen, both truths are completely there without any censorship.
Yes. And know that we don't have to wrap it in a story of, so who's the bad person? Who's the victim here and who's the villain really? Who's worthy of love and who gets to be cast out? Because that's really what conflict ends up. It becomes this struggle between who's going to be the one that gets cast out. Like cast out of hearts. Who gets to be the one that gets to be just judged and belittled and thought of as disgusting or nasty or hurtful or needing to grow or, you know, juvenile, or who's going to be cast out into the world of like badness? And we both desperately don't want to, but we play the game of I can't be cast out, so you must be. And I think this notion of being cast out, I like to think of it as like, you know, we don't live in a society today where, like, if you're cast out, you get eaten by large predators. But for most of our development as a species, we have lived in conditions where if we got cast out of the mob, cast out of the community, cast out of the family, cast out of the village, we'd be eaten. So, like, we're wired to not be cast out. And I think actually that's behind our needing to be right, because if I get to be right, then I won't be wrong. And if I'm wrong, danger, I get cast out. I get ridiculed. I get, you know, invalidated. I get incarcerated. I get penalized. I get unloved. I get shamed.
What's coming up, and just pulling that beautiful golden thread from your intro, the childhood experiences, the separation of your parents and the relating with your mom. I know myself there, like the cast out part, you draw on the beautiful biological evolutionary terms, which it's a real important part to it. But I know the cast out for me, when I look back, Fish, was being a good boy.
Yes.
I really, really fucking learned a lot of rules to go, mommy's face lights up when I do that shit.
Yes.
Mommy's face really switches off. The love, the attunement, all of these words that I can, the 40-year-old me can use. I had no fucking idea what was going on, but I knew that I experienced profound pain when I do that shit. So you better avoid all of the above. With the greatest diligence, be like a Navy SEAL operative, like in behind enemy lines. Like, you know, you make the wrong move here, wrong corner, you better fucking know what's around that corner. And if you learn that lesson once, never go around that corner. I learned that level of being cast out, which I now know that was the game. And it's like, round the wrong corner, Navy SEAL. That's being wrong in conflict, but what a fucking disaster zone with my queen constantly avoiding the fear of being cast out for being wrong. And that's what it felt like when I grew up. I do look back with open eyes and go, there was so much love. Again, actually through the same lens, you know, Mark, even when he fucked up as a 4-year-old, I was having an experience. My heart was longing. And it's also true. My mom, in ways of disciplining, in ways of, was having an experience of, you know, hey, honey.
She was expressing her pain.
Yeah, it's overwhelming. I'm dealing with four kids. You mightn't have the human, you know, maturity now to see that, but I'm preparing dinner. Your father's coming in. There's financial stresses, et cetera, et cetera. But it's actually very healing to look back through this lens of all of that pain that I experienced growing up that not digested fully caused me to avoid conflict. But when I look back, I wasn't expecting this in this conversation, actually. This is really beautiful. But it's like the exact same paradigm. When I'm now looking back, Fish, I'm actually feeling, I want to be fully present with this because I've shared it in the podcast, but the true full human experience that's coming up for me is my mom passed 2 years ago.
Yes.
I'm slowing down because I can get to a rational drive, which will just dissipate the emotion.
Yeah.
It's coming up in 2 years. And in my healing journey, it's been immense the last 2 years, and I feel my nervous system, asthma, breathing, there's a lot to digest, which is there's a lot of my inner child working and on this topic. So I really just want to be intimate with you and with the guys listening in.
Thank you.
There's an immense grief, but a beautiful healing realization in my nervous system here, because when I look back at my childhood, which there was so much emotional pain for me, and I'm still on that healing process clearly and will be for a long time. When I look back at my relationship with my mom and go, oh, well, with every energetic memory box of that time when I experienced that, I felt hurt and I felt she was, you know, the enemy. It's like, you didn't get me, and all of those assumptions that I set and beliefs I set that I was not worthy of love, et cetera, et cetera. When I now look back at all of those boxes, I'm like, okay, my 2-year-old, 1-year-old, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old self had a heart that was yearning for.
Yes.
When I was being loud, I was yearning to be playful and be fully alive and shutting the world just receive my joy. And my beautiful mother, in those moments, you know, couldn't receive it because she was, her heart was yearning for stillness and quiet. I'm remembering one precise memory when she used to look at the old show Dallas. She absolutely loved that. And I was very young. I remember one memory. I'll use that memory to just guide the experience. But she fucking lit up on us.
Yes.
We were going crazy, full of joy. I mean, two older brothers, we were like playing together, and she lit on us. But when I go, my heart was yearning for full, liberated, masculine, boyish joy. Could have been at school that day, so it was like, didn't get to, you know, work all that energy through. And then there's this sharp emotional experience of like, can you just be quiet? And like, I remember... the memory's coming back. I only have half an hour to sit down and enjoy this. Can you just be quiet?
Yes.
And it's also true. Her heart, her nervous system was yearning peace, quiet, a little bit of relaxation, a little bit
What was the pain that was evoked in her that you would never have wanted for her? What was she left feeling in that moment, sitting down to watch Dallas, half an hour to herself? Here you are just being fully expressed in your boisterous, magnificent, free energy. And unintentionally, it evoked in her the feeling of what?
Unintentionally.
You would never have wanted this pain for her.
It might have been a feeling of being seen, a feeling of appreciation of everything she does and did for us during the day, every day. And it's like, for Christ's sake, just give me this moment. But it's like, I feel like a lack of appreciation. I feel that she was
beautiful, maybe overwhelmed, which I think you spoke to before.
Yeah.
maybe like like noise closing in, just like frustrated and at the end of her rope, like desperate, maybe overwhelmed, angry, obviously, because anger came out of her, but also maybe a bit like hopeless and maybe even heartbroken. Like, I just need half an hour. I'm just not coping.
Yeah.
Now, you just got very present to some pain that you would never have wanted for her that was most likely absolutely alive for her. While you also stayed present to what your beautiful boyish heart was longing for. And look how wildly different they are. Like ocean and desert. And yet, can we allow those two things to coexist? Because it turns out both are deeply true, like deeply true.
And in working it like this, and it's spontaneously happening, it's such a perfect way, Fish, but my mind draws how that, just that one example, and there's hundreds, maybe even thousands more I'll never consciously recollect. But that example there, and the belief and the assumption that it created and brought into my marriage, which is your masculine wildness is not appreciated.
Not welcome here.
You know, I look now and I'm unpacking that bit by bit, but the assumption from moments like that, and tons of moments like that with my mom, not feeling into her truth, make an assumption, make a belief. It's like, oh, well, it's just black and white. You know, your wildness, you're shouting, you're screaming, you're primary. And I have 40-year-old words to describe that. It's not welcome.
If I'm expressed, I'll be cast out.
Yeah.
Wow. Or I'll hurt people I love. Or I'll get in trouble. Are you okay for us to stay with this moment between you and your mom?
Absolutely perfect. Yes. Go wherever you feel it could serve myself, but the guys listening in, I'm full.
It's very generous. It's very generous of you to actually offer you and your real life, because it's just going to take us into a level of reality that we wouldn't have if we're talking more philosophically. So the diagonal statement, as I call it, the non-oppositional truth, holds your yearning and her pain. So can you try and phrase that for me in a way that deeply honors you and deeply honors her, your longing and her pain? And I'm totally putting you on the spot here, but I trust that your heart can go there.
Yeah. I might edit this out, or I might keep this in. How is your time? Because I'm realizing that we're 6 minutes from the end. Are you okay?
I'm okay.
Okay.
If you're okay, I'm okay.
Absolutely perfect. Thank you. I'm going to do it live, and I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to try and see my mom and whatever emotions come up.
Yeah, and also see little you there, and the joy that was trying to burst out of you. Hold them as coexistent.
Yeah, it's like
wrapping loving awareness around you and her. So great. Yeah.
Mom, my heart in this moment is yearning just to be free, just to shout, pent up energy. I just have such a need to scream, to be loud, to roughhouse with Paul and Barry. I just need to run. I've just so much energy. I'm wanting to feel playful, free, liberated, excited, totally the opposite of what I've had all day, sitting at school, which is fine, but God, I just need this. And it's also true that I imagine you're feeling overwhelmed. I imagine I imagine you're feeling a deep pain of not feeling appreciated, not feeling deserving, or that we feel you're deserving of this moment when you can look at your program, you can sit, you can have your chill out point. Because you've done so much, you do so much, and you're not being seen and honored that this is your time too, and that you deserve to have silence, you deserve that to be respected, you deserve to have a boundary on this room that we, you know, we might just not run through that door and keep running around in loops, that there's a part of your experience just needing that room to be your sacred sanctuary and
feeling invaded, maybe.
Invaded, beautiful word. I also see you in what I imagine is your deep human experience of what your heart is yearning and is not receiving to.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Amazing. Thank you. What a powerful place for you to be able to hold those two things. Because if every human being right now was able to hold what we'd been longing for and the pain that our actions had created for them, that we would never have wanted for them, if all human beings could do that right now, all wars would cease.
Mm-hmm.
All wars. All abuse would cease. So thank you. Great privilege. Can I go to the next step?
Hell yeah. Bring it on.
I don't have to do much setup because it's the same thing in the other direction. What we want to honor, because there's, you know, the little you. How old were you, Mark? About?
I'm imagining, if I can recollect, it's 5, 6.
Got it. So there's little 5 or 6-year-old Mark copying his mum's abrasive language and suddenly just like imploding. So we want to be able to speak to the pain that comes alive in you then, like really fucking honor it, because it's also true. And in the other hand, we want to start to attune to what your mum's tender heart was longing for behind what got spat out of her mouth and in the volume that naturally came out of her. So are you able to speak to those two things, your pain and the depth of her longing? See, here in this second diagonal, we're saying the pain I'm in is real and your beautiful heart would never have wanted this for me. And we're attempting to do that even behind the things that on the surface of it occur as malicious. We're not saying they went about it skillfully. I'm not asking you to condone how your mother used her language and her tone of voice. I'm not saying we have to be okay with it. In fact, I'm saying we're very not okay with it. And this pain is distinct from what they were longing for. Just like on our side, so as on their side. So see how you go with that. Yeah. I'll give you a moment to feel into it.
Thank you.
Fiercely honoring you both again. The pain in 5-year-old Mark and the deepest longing in your mum behind that attack that spat out of her lips.
Mom, when you shout out like that, when you use language like that, when I'm in like a peak of joy, of freedom, I'm playing with my brothers, etc., and you haven't spoken anything leading up to that, that feels like an abrupt shock. It feels horrible inside. I feel deep hurt deep rejection. I feel immense judgment. I feel like I'm being made suddenly wrong from being right and free to being wrong. I should have fucking seen, I should have seen it. I should have done better. And that feeling of feeling wrong and ashamed, all of a sudden, there's such a conflict. That's immense, and it's suffocating for me.
Yes, suffocated.
And
shame.
And I see now your human experience. You'd never have wanted me to feel that.
Yes.
And I see now you maybe dealt with it and navigated that way because you didn't tell us not to run through that room several times because you actually wanted us to be playing. You wanted us to have our freedom. You actually, your heart was yearning for us to have that freedom, for us to keep living in that joyous state of being. Hence, you didn't tell us the first, second, third, fourth time. And yes, I experienced a shock when it finally came out. But your heart was yearning actually for your children to feel joy and to feel playful.
Got it. What else? Because there were incongruent yearnings in her heart. One is, I want my boy's freedom. And the other is, what else is she yearning for at the same time? What has her go, just half an hour?
Really?
What's that longing to feel?
Just some shut the fuck up space for herself. Just peace.
Yeah, what does she want to feel? And peace.
And silence.
Yes.
And honoring. And for her family to gift her service like she gives so much service to serve her needs in that moment. And the need was cared for.
Cared for.
And seen.
Seen. Respected. The absence of overwhelm. Peace. But just a moment's peace. Now, nowhere in this work are we saying how she went about it was magnificent. In fact, what we're doing through these two pathways, how I went about what I was longing for left you feeling pain, and how you went about what you were longing for left me feeling pain, what we're doing is we're starting to illuminate simply the unskillful actions we took. Your action was unskillful because you never would have wanted to cause such upset for your mum. So you might have run around and screamed at a greater distance. That would have been more skillful because then you would have felt liberated and free without creating pain you never wanted. And she might have, maybe earlier or maybe in a different way, communicated her sense of overwhelm and need for space, and also the fact that she wanted your freedom, but she might have gone about it in a way that didn't immediately leave you feeling like you had to collapse in being the villain. Unskillful actions, but notice what we're not saying is that either person is bad or wrong. We're not dismissing the longing in each tender heart. In fact, we're highlighting it, celebrating it, honoring it, illuminating it. And we're not turning away from either pain because both are deeply true and just need to be fucking wrapped in fierce loving awareness. Amazing.
And I
thank you.
Fuck yes. And yeah. There's it's an audio only recording. I'm quite sure the guys get, but it still is really profound in my nervous system. And thank you, Fish, for holding space for that. And there's a grief, and yet emerging from it, there's a grief looking back, I will share, going, oh my God, how it could have been so much easier with that paradigm, where in that one example that's been multiplied 10,000 times, maybe 100,000 times of many to big experiences where I never saw and she never saw.
Yes.
The full yearning, the full experience, and there was always a right wrong. And that really deeply was hurtful. And I was never met in that experience. I didn't have the skills. She didn't have the skills. So we're all off the hook. But what I'm hearing in you is like, my pain still is real and valid. And it was a valid human experience.
And
what's emerging is this paradigm looking back on my past gives me a visor, gives me like a plan to go, okay, well, it's the diagonal. It's like just honor both experiences, go through the process, but also with my queen, with my kids, there's other relationships that have settled into conflict. It gives me a real grounded hope of, okay, this is a repeatable process. Again, that rational-minded part going, yeah, it's a superpower. I avoided emotions, but if that rational mind can go, I have a plan that works. My rational mind loves a plan that works, and I can feel life in my nervous system. It absolutely works. I just am so grateful for your generosity to share that with me firsthand in such a personal way, but also by extension to guys listening in, Fish.
Of course. Well, it's incredible to actually witness you being willing to go there, because it's a tender place. There's a risk that we end up feeling like we're having to dismiss ourselves to validate them, but you just wouldn't do that. You kept validating yourself deeply while you validated them. And it's very common, Mark, I want you to know, that people get to a certain point in a program with me and they say, is it normal to feel both immensely hopeful for the future of humanity and struck by immense grief? And whenever I say, tell me more about the grief, they say, I'm just looking back on life and realizing that none of my conflicts had to go that way, like none of them. And then they often say, and then I'm stepping outside of my life and looking at billions of lives on the planet since the dawn of time and realizing that none of the conflicts had to go that way. Hundreds of millions of people died last century because of the wars waged by I'm right and you're wrong. Hundreds of millions of people. So let yourself be struck by that grief, because we're now entering reality. Like, we're now getting grounded in reality. So just to kind of like, so people have that, they can even write it down. Right. Pathway number one, I'm going to speak to my longing behind what I did, what I wanted to feel, what I wanted others to feel. And using the joining word, and I'm going to be very generous in feeling into and recognizing all the upset that my actions created. That's pathway one. My longing and your pain both get honored. Pathway two is, I'm going to speak fiercely to the pain I'm in because of what you did. And I'm going to start to reach right into your tender heart and recognize what you might actually have been longing for that is distinct from the pain I'm very much in. For example, when my ex-wife hung up on me on the phone some months ago, it's a well-worn story I tell now because it's such a beautiful example. We've got a great relationship 12 years down the track. We were having a conversation. She wanted to get supported by me around something. I was asking some clarifying questions to leave her feeling more supported, and so I knew exactly how to support her, right? That's not how it landed. For her, she felt completely dismissed by me, as if I was challenging her need for support rather than trying to clarify it. So she eventually said, you're not listening to me. I said, hang on a sec, I'm trying my best to listen to you. She was like, there you go again, invalidating me, hang up the phone, right? Now, on the surface of it, that seems malicious, and I just want to go, what a crazy bitch. You know, how dare she hang up on me? But then I go, hang on a sec, that's my pain speaking. This is what it left me feeling. Shut out, shut down, made wrong, silenced, invalidated, villainized. And I wonder what she might have been hoping for through hanging up on me. And that started to all become illuminated. It's like she wanted me to see the extent to which she felt dismissed. Why? Because if she gets to feel attuned to by me, then we can repair. She actually is committed to a relationship between us where she doesn't ever feel dismissed. So she hangs up to let me know the extent of her pain. As soon as I can start to see her behavior as an unskillful demonstration of her commitment to something, suddenly the opportunity open. So when I call her back the next day, I say, I can't imagine how dismissed I might have left you feeling. And that must have been shit for you, because it might even have reminded you of the last few years of our marriage. And she was like, she immediately, her heart opens and she says, thank you for seeing that. And now we're back in the realm of conscious communication. Later, I can say, hanging up on me leaves me feeling this certain way, and I know that's not what you were ever wanting. And eventually she says, I'm so sorry for hanging up on you. I did just want my pain seen by you. How could we do it differently? From opposition into mutual understanding. Beautiful Fish, work.
This has been fucking epic.
This and that's been... just the start, by the way.
I know. I'm like, there's just, I'm really having to just like bring in the horses of my mind going, yeah, okay, I'll follow up. Get that book published. That's all I'm going to say. Get that book published.
We can have another chat down the track if you want. That'd be fun.
That would be beautiful. Thank you for speaking that into space. Fishgill, this has been beautiful, amazing. My heart, my nervous system is hungry for more of your wisdom and insights, and there's questions and curiosities. I know full well, don't even have to ask guys listening in, that the vast majority of guys that will listen in are going to be passionately curious to know more about you, to follow up with your work, to work with you, your teachings, etc. Where can all of this wave, this tsunami of men's interest, where can that be channeled online to find you?
On Instagram, for those on Instagram, I'm at James_Fish_Gill. I come up as a heart coach. That's where I post all my little junk food nuggets of videos to try and speak to very little components of this work. The whole work is a big nourishing 12-course meal, but I speak to the little nuggets. And on the internet, I am leadbyheart.com. And you can find all my podcast interviews there. And you can find details about my group coaching programs and my facilitator training. I now train people in this approach starting tomorrow for the next 6-month program for people who have come through a program and just go, this is profound and I want to lead this work in the world. So that's super exciting for me, hanging out with those people. Yeah, that's about it for me. And you know, what we're really doing here is we're just practicing staying fiercely present to what's true. Not our analysis, because our analysis is untrue. It's just founded on a fragment of the truth of the data, which is just our experience. What's true is what I long for, what you've been left feeling, what I've been left feeling, and what you are longing for. Fierce presence around those four truths will definitely open our woman's heart as we practice. Thank you so much, my brother.
Fish, it's been an honor, an absolute privilege. Thank you so much for your generosity of time, of wisdom. Just, yeah, it was sublime on personal and on all levels. On behalf of every man listening in, thanks for showing up as you have.
Thanks, man. Thanks for being so open and vulnerable with me and so willing.
So, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet, the spiritual gauntlet has been put down to you by Fish. It's a super simple, repeatable process that can allow your heart navigate your beautiful, deep, intimate relationship with your queen in a way that brings humanity, brings understanding, and above all, brings a repeatable process to inviting connection and love back into your beautiful marriage, your deep, intimate relationship with your queen. And what could be a more beautiful gift to receive from Fish here today? But as always, these insights, this amazing wisdom is only of use to you, to your queen, to your marriage, to your kids, and to the world, if you have the courage to implement. So reach out, follow Fish Instagram, check him out on his website, and this episode, repeat it again and again and again, take notes, for a new battle plan to come into your next conflict, armed and ready to lead with ferocious presence, love, and a rational-minded plan of understanding how to go at it in a super effective way. In perfect alignment with the mantra for movement, better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.